And he did a little illusion show and he presented the gospel to me and some of my friends there at the house. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm 43 now. You know, I'm getting old, Brother Rodney. I'm getting old. And it seems like, I mean, I have that vivid picture of him being in my living room and us watching those tricks. And it stuck in my mind. And so I'm convinced that it sticks in the minds of all of us if we will allow it to and allow God to speak to us. And so I love doing those kind of things. Plus, you're only as old as you act. I tell people that all the time. If you're feeling old and stiff, well, get out and play frisbee with the nephews, you know, and you maybe you'll feel a little bit limber. If you sit still, you're going to get stiff. And so God wants us to be active for Him. I'm impressed with people in Scripture. I love reading missionary books about what people did for God. CEF uses missionary books from all over the world of missionaries that did great things for God. And it's always encouraging to read about what these people did. At our international conference, one of the African ladies, she was given a testimony. And they can't raise money for their ministry because their neighbors are all Muslim. I mean, if they go out raising money to share the gospel with children, they're going to get beheaded and killed. And that's a real life thing that they deal with every day. So they struggle in ways that we don't really understand. This one lady gave her testimony. She said, every week I have to decide, am I going to take the little bit of money that I have and get bus fare to go into the city to teach children? Or am I going to take that little bit of money that I have and buy food for my own children to eat? And the lady says, so every week we take the money and we buy bus fare and we go into the city and we teach the children about Jesus. And Jesus feeds our children. It's encouraging to watch other people walk by faith. It's encouraging to see other people who do great things for God. And so I want us to look at someone's life this morning in the book of Acts and see someone who did great things for God. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know where you are in your life. But I know that God wants to speak to you. God wants to change you. Maybe you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you come to church, maybe you do some things, but apart from having a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not saved and will not go to heaven. I want to say this lovingly. I love you. I want you to be in heaven. I want you to be saved and changed. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the sinner is hard. Have you ever watched someone struggle in their sin? And it just seems like brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. Have you ever done that before? And God, I think, with a megaphone from upstairs is saying, hey, y'all, I'm trying to help you here. You know, I'm trying to touch your life and change your life. Will you just trust me? God's will is for us to know Him and walk with Him. In the book of Acts chapter 6, we see a man who did just that, who walked with God in an amazing way. And so in Acts chapter 6, I'm going to pray, and I promise I'll have you out of here in short time. I promise. Like 1 o'clock. Just kidding, kind of. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for loving us. I thank you that this Christian life is not just something we put on Sunday mornings. This Christian life is something that can be real and should be real and should change us from day to day, should give us confidence and strength to stand for you. God, I ask that you would be with everyone sitting here. Many, no doubt, that have known you and lived for you for many years. I ask you to challenge our hearts to continue this fight, continue this walk, and let our lives count for you. God, I ask that if there are those listening who are not saved, they don't know you as their personal Savior, they would realize salvation is not church attendance. It is not putting money in the offering plate. It is about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and having our sins forgiven, confessing you as our Lord, knowing with confidence we're on our way to heaven. Challenge these hearts, God. Use your word now in these next few moments to speak to us, to bring us to that place where you want us to be. You want us to be saved and changed and doing a work for you. We'll give you the praise for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say thank you to Brother Rodney. And it's been a joy. We've been friends for a long time. And Brother Rodney's a good cheerleader, right? The whole Holloman family, they're just like, they're good pep rally people, you know? Like, I'm glad that they're our friends. And, you know, I've never been with Brother Rodney, and I've never walked away from thinking, man, I'm like way down. This is depressing. You know, every time you leave, you're like, man, I feel like I got a little more zip in my step. And I'm glad to have friends like that in our life, and friends who pray for your ministry, support your ministry. And ministry is tough. There are struggles. You know, there are times when it's like, man, this is hard. People aren't doing what you thought they would do. Ministry's not going. The money's not coming in like you thought it would. And so it's so encouraging for our family to have that type of relationship. All right, we're moving on. Chapter 6, Stephen. We want to look at Stephen just for a few minutes. This is a picture in the New Testament where all of the people were complaining that the widows, that they're not being served. And so they decided to look out some deacons. They decided to look for a few men. So in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so that's where the church is. And in that, I want us to see the first person that they come to in the list. So in verse 5, the whole group was pleased, all the disciples, the whole multitude, they were pleased. And they went out, and the first person that we have on the list, and they chose Stephen. And I want to look at Stephen's life just for a few moments. And listen, God's Word is not supposed to be a looking glass where we can look through and judge other people. It's supposed to be a mirror where I can look and let it judge me and convict me. And so I hope you'll do that. Let it reflect what you need. And don't push it away, but allow God to speak to us this morning. The Bible says that they saw Stephen. And I want to look at some things about Stephen, that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And then there's the rest of the list, and we're not going to talk about any of those fellas, so we don't even have to read that. We're just going to, you know, you can preach on all of them, but we're going to pick out Stephen just for a few moments here and see some things about Stephen's life. Stephen was chose to serve. Now, I every now and then have to go bug for some help. Who are the people that you look to help you? Do you go looking for people that are sitting on the couch to be helpers for you? People that are sitting on the couch, what are they probably going to do when you need help? They're sitting on the couch, right? The people that get called on to do work are who? They're the workers. They're the people that are busy. They're the people that are doing a work. So Stephen didn't serve because he was chosen, right? Follow this. He didn't serve as a deacon, as a servant, because he was chosen. He was chosen because he was what? He was already serving. He was already busy doing the work. He was already active. I mean, and you look at that, if you're looking for a good yard man, I mean, do you go try to find the guy who's sitting on his front porch with a broken push mower? No, that's not the guy you want cutting your grass. You want the guy who's busy with three trailers behind his truck and got other people, because he's busy. I mean, you know there's a reason he's busy. If he's a sorry yard guy, guess what? He's not going to be very long. Busy, right? And so Stephen was busy serving. He was actively trying to do something for God. So I want to ask you, first off, Christian, if you're a child of God, are you actively trying to do something for God? Is church just a one or two times a week thing that we do? Or is it who we are on the inside? I'm trying to do something for God. By the way, let me say this. Church attendance is not for God. Church attendance is for you. There are no, I mean, we give out Sunday school pins. You're not getting jewels and crown for church attendance, all right? That's for you. That's for us to come and gain strength. That's for us to come and gain fellowship and encouragement. So if you skip church, who are you hurting? You. If you're not here, who are you hurting? You. You need the fellowship that goes on here. You need that bond between you men and women and children. That is strength for us. That gives life for us, and we need that in our lives. But why are you doing it? We tell the young people, what you do is nowhere near as important as why you do it. What you do are just works. The most important thing is, why are you doing what you do? And Stephen was busy doing the right thing for the right reason. So let's look at Stephen and see some things about him. The Bible says that he was a good man. He was a good man. He was appointed because of what he was doing. He was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, Stephen was full of faith and he was full of power. He did great wonders and miracles. Now I want you to look at that in verse 8. I want you to underline, if you underline in your Bible, I want you to go to the end of verse 8. Stephen was full of faith and power and he did great wonders and miracles. What are those last three words there? Y'all say it with me. Among the people. I want you to think about that in your mind. It doesn't say Stephen had great power and did great wonders and great miracles among the church. Stephen's work wasn't in this building. Where was his work? Among the people, out in the world. Guess where lost people most likely aren't? In the church. Now, certainly, we invite lost people to church because we want them to come and see what we have in Christ. We want them to be saved. But the truth is, there's a whole lot more lost people out there than there is in here, right? How are we going to impact them? We got to go where they are. Stephen was about that. Stephen was busy working for God in the community, out among the people. So Stephen's serving was very active. We cannot reach the lost world if we aren't among lost people. I want you to understand that. That doesn't mean that you chase around lost people and you want to get your Harley Davidson so you can go minister to Harley Davidson riders. You want to start smoking so you can reach the smokers. That's not what God's intention was. But if you're not rubbing shoulders with any lost people, how are you ever going to reach anybody? You have to be among them, around them, in order for them to see your God. Now, if you live like the devil, don't try to win lost people, okay? Because you're not a very good testimony, all right? So the first thing is we got to clean up our own act. And Stephen did that. So Stephen's serving and Stephen's spirit. I want you to see what he was. Stephen was one of those guys that it was just encouraging to be around. It was just encouraging to be in that crowd of people. I grew up in an exciting church where we had, when I was a young boy, a young teenager, we had people saved occasionally during a song service where people would get excited. They'd feel the Holy Spirit leading them and they'd come forward in a song service. What is that? Is that a dynamic preacher or dynamic singers? What is that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. Now, how did those people come to church and get convicted? Because good Christian people live for God, love that person, and then those people wanted what they have. So is there anyone who wants what you have? Is there anyone you're around that sees you any different than anybody else? Is there anyone that you rub shoulders with that you could say, boy, I'm trying hard to witness that person. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying hard to live a life so that that person can see I'm different. Are we doing that? Stephen was doing that. He was full of faith. Now, what does it mean to be full of faith? He had a deep knowledge of his faith. He understood what his faith was. He understood what his faith was about. Do you know that the local Mormon or the local atheist knows far more about their religion than what the local Christian? The local devil worshiper knows more about his belief than what the average Christian knows about their belief. The Muslim religion puts us to shame on what they believe and what they're willing to do because of their belief. When the average Christian doesn't even believe in their God enough to show up and be faithful to church or to just obey the basic commandments of God. Stephen was not that person. Stephen was active. He was full of faith. If you were to have to lead someone to Christ, if someone came to you brokenhearted with tears rolling down their cheek and said, I don't want to die and go to hell, I want to go to heaven, can you help me? Could you help them? Could you with confidence help them? Could you open up a Bible, a Gideon's Bible from a hotel room? I'm not talking about could you open your Bible that's got all the tabs on it, you know, the cheat sheets. Do you know your Bible, God's Word, enough where you could open it and lead someone to Christ? I find people that have been saved 40, 50, 60 years and never led a soul to Christ. God wants us to be active. Stephen, his spirit was in such a way that people saw him. In verse 15, the Bible says about Stephen, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Stephen's spirit was amazing, wasn't it? Stephen was excited. Listen, if you spend your whole life and your whole life is down and you're just tired and angry and sad and I guess I'm going to get up and go to church today, you may as well stay home, okay? Because that's not the Spirit of God that lives in you. That's the spirit of the devil that lives in you and is controlling you. God wants you to be full of Him. And when you are full of Him, guess what? That frown's going to be turned upside down, isn't it? Even in the midst of great trial, you think about Paul and Silas beaten and thrown in a dungeon, and what did they begin to do? They begin to sing. You know what Christianity needs today? A good dose of just good old-fashioned joy. A good dose of good old-fashioned camp meeting excitement where we throw away everything in our life and fall in love with God again because of what He's done for us. Stephen's spirit was that way. Verse 10, look at verse 10 with me. It says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Stephen's spirit was in such a way that they can't even argue with it. They're like, wow. Here's one thing. Stephen's testimony was in such a way that they knew he was real. They knew Stephen was the real deal. I want you to look this way real quick. Men, women, adults, teenagers, boys, girls, everybody that I missed in that description. I think I got everybody in that description. Look up this way. Would your buddy say that you're a good Christian? Would your coworker say that person walks with God? Because if your coworker wouldn't say it, I'm wondering if Jesus would say it. You see, it's not about proving to our coworkers whether or not we're a child of the King. It's about proving to me and to God. Stephen's testimony was such a way that he walked with God. How did he do that? How did he get full of faith? First off, he knew he was saved. He knew what it took to be saved. And he was busy telling other people the wordless book, the amazing truths of God's love for them. Stephen was fresh off the press of Jesus giving his life. Stephen was witnessing to people that watched Jesus be crucified. Stephen was witnessing to people who stood beside as Jesus was teaching and preaching. And some of those same people helped crucify him. That's the group of people that Stephen is witnessing to. And he's doing it with power. Unashamedly at his claims. He was standing up on his faith. He believed it. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave in order to provide a way of escape for you? Do you believe that? Have you ever shared that with anyone else? Do you just know about it, but you've never received it yourself? Listen, it has to be real to you. And the saddest thing in the world is to see people who know what there is to know about God and reject Him. Who come to church, but never receive Him. What a sad thing. Because you're missing out on what God has for you. You're missing out on what God wants to do in your life. Stephen did an amazing thing for God. Stephen's speech. Stephen proved what he believed and he backed it up. Boy, if you come through Stephen verse 8, Stephen full of faith and power did great wonders and miracles among the people, and there arose a certain in the synagogue who accused him. So Stephen is in the temples, he's in the places. Stephen's calling out these people that crucified Jesus. He's standing up on what he believed in. But he's doing it in such a way, the Bible says, that because of his speech, they couldn't resist. They couldn't argue with his knowledge. They couldn't argue with the truths. They couldn't quit going around trying to get people to swallow a King James version of Scripture and come and argue about full immersion baptism. Quit arguing about that stuff. And go love on someone and tell them about a God that wants to save them. If you talk more about principles that your denomination believes in and less about your God that your denomination believes in, you're off base. All we're doing is drawing lines in the sand that God didn't draw. Now, I'm as Free Will Baptist as they come, all right? I'm not arguing those points, but I'm a Christian. And when I get to heaven, guess what? I don't get a Free Will Baptist pen. I don't, neither do you. God wants to save people and change people. And it's not about our convictions or our standards or our beliefs or our principles. It's about our holy God that wants to save a lost world. And Stephen preached and taught in such a way that lives were changed. Now, listen. But some lives were angered, weren't they? You do something for God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to push some people away. And sometimes those people are going to be your very own family members. Sometimes those people are going to be your very neighbors. Stephen preached in such a way that the next point is Stephen's stoning. He lived for God. He believed. He held on to the principles of what Jesus had done for him. But the Bible says in verse 11, then stubborn men which said, we've heard him speak, and they concocted this story. They stirred up the people, the Bible says in verse 12. And the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him out of the council. And they set up false witnesses. And they said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered out. What were those people hung up on? What did I just read for you? Customs. They were, wow, Jesus is changing our customs. We're willing. They had forgotten about who God was and what all of the Old Testament prophecies had said about Jesus coming. And they were hung up on their customs and their principles and their standards instead of trying to see all that Jesus was. Now listen, the Bible says that they were so angry. So angry that they decided, old Stephen's got to go. Stephen has preached, he's taught, he's done all of these things, and we're done with Stephen. Chapter 7, reading in verse 51, you can see some of what Stephen preached. "Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in your heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted?" I mean, he is letting them know what he believes and what God says. The Bible says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost," now listen, "he looked up steadfastly into heaven and he saw the glory of God." Now I want you to think about this picture. Stephen's being stoned. He's being drug out. He's being persecuted for his belief. He stood on the principles of God. He stood up and said, "Today I'm going to do something for God if it kills me." Have you ever stood with that kind of conviction? "I want to do something for God if it's the last thing I do. I want people to know about my God if it costs me everything I have." And that's where Stephen stood. It was about to cost him everything he had. Now, before I get to that point, I want you to think back with me, or I won't turn there for the sake of time, but Hebrews 1:3, Jesus has given his life. All right, this is the picture. Jesus has given his life. He's ascended up into heaven, right? And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that he sat down at the right hand of the Father, right? Jesus' work is done. He's given his life to pay for the sin debt. He's risen victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He has been obedient to his Father, even obedient unto death. And now he's arisen. He's ascended up into heaven. His work is done. And he's seated. Now listen, that's shouting time right there. That's exciting. Jesus did everything we can do. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. Everything he did was done. And the Bible says he's resting. He sits down at the right hand of the Father. His work is done. It's our chance to make a choice now. Now follow me because it's important. This gets me excited. So where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible teaches us. But I want you to look at verse 55 with me. Stephen had given it all. He wanted to count for Christ so much, he laid it all down. It wasn't easy. It took him. It took all he had. Verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost," he couldn't do it in his own power. He had to be filled with God and the power of God. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus." What was Jesus doing? I want you to look at that word. He saw Jesus standing. Now you say, "Brother Larry, that's a play on words." I don't think there's such things in the Bible. I don't think God made a mistake in Jesus' position as to whether he was seated or whether he was standing. When I was a child, there was a song by Ray Bolts, and some of you in that era might remember the song. My parents thought it was a little rocky, so they were questioning, "Should you be listening to that music?" And I sat down with them, and the song says, "Someone stood up for Stephen." Someone stood up for Stephen. He wasn't standing alone. Someone stood up for Stephen at the Father's throne. Listen, Stephen, with all he could muster, with all his strength, he took his relationship with God serious. And he was getting ready to die. These people had the stones in their hand to kill him. The Bible says he looks up into heaven and he sees God in all his glory. He's about to meet him face to face. But he sees Jesus standing. I want you to think about this. Jesus left the resting position and he assumed the cheering position where he saw his people deciding, "I want to do something for Jesus. I want to do something for God. I want to do something that changes people's lives." I wonder, have you ever caused Jesus to get up from the resting position? Have you ever done something that cost you anything for the cause of Christ? I can tell you, after leaving our international conference and watching, listening to testimonies of people who were beheaded because of their faith in Jesus, of a pastor who watched two of his kids be killed and then was killed himself, encouraging his children. One of the men gave testimony of him encouraging his children. You'll see Jesus soon. You'll see Jesus soon, as his own children were killed. Listen, have you ever done anything for God that mattered like that? Stephen stood up for Jesus. And when Stephen stood up for Jesus, Jesus stood up for him. Listen, we don't have many situations where we're going to get drug out in the street and stoned, do we? We have opportunities every day to live for God. We have opportunities every day to count for God. Will you be a vocal witness, or will you be a scared, silent voice and just blend into the crowd? Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me in the presence of men, I'll be ashamed of you in the presence of my Father. Church, if we don't get to the point where we take the gospel seriously, where we allow the gospel to change us and excite us and motivate us. Listen, it is exciting. If you can sit there with a dull look on your face and asleep in your pew, you don't know the same God that I know. If you can sit there and be numb and unaffected, you don't walk with Jesus the way you're supposed to. God can change us. Stephen's spirit was real and alive. I'm thankful that in my childhood I was able to watch men who stepped into pulpits, and before they ever got there, you knew they were walking with God. Amen. I was able to watch other people in my life who walked with God in such a way they didn't have to tell me how they walked with God. I saw it. There were a handful of preachers that changed my life, but the majority of the people who changed my life were good, godly people. They were carpenters, and they put skirting on trailers, and they sold cars, but they lived for Jesus wherever they were. Church, that's what we need. We need a revival of the Spirit of God in each one of us. We need to be willing to get off our pew and do something for Jesus, even if it cost us. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.